Good morning. What a day it is. I want to tell you that we have the best staff everywhere. Because when I got up this morning, my staff had shoveled all the snow from my sidewalk and from my driveway, and they even got the church done. And work with me here, people. Come on. No, I'm glad that you're here today. I'm glad that we get to start this brand new series, Making Change. And what a way to kick it off. And it's a message series that I believe is going to have the potential to make a significant impact on how we live life. And, you know, what we're going to talk about is probably one of the easiest things for us to shake off, too, is because it's just... We think, oh, we can do it later. But through the 4 weeks, we're gonna talk about four things. Less is more, stress is bad, giving is good, and tomorrow matters. Okay, I want you to say those with me if you would. Less is more, stress is bad, giving is good, tomorrow matters. One more time, real loud. Less is more, stress is bad, giving is good, tomorrow matters. All right, who can tell me what the 4 weeks are? There's one. I could hear that. Who else? Who, raise your hand. Let me see who's going to try it. There we go, right there. Who remember what I threw them was a bag of Sprees. Who remembers Sprees as a kid? Remember Sprees, but they used to come in these big long packages. I spent 20 minutes at the store looking for big long packages of candy, and I couldn't find them. So found out they come in bags now. Who knew? But I have a bowl of Sprees up here, and we have an ADD praise team because they separated all the colors. I was going to eat them, but that means they've touched them all. You use hand sanitizer first. Like, I used to work construction. Like, that matters. I mean, there, I'm going to mix it. Kim, was that you that did that? There, now I feel better. Okay. Because we've all got a little chaos in our life, don't we? Just like life, that we get a little chaos, and sometimes we get our colors mixed up. And after service, you can come up and have one of these, too. They're really good. Oh, they make your mouth water. What's that? They'll be all gone. No, they won't. They make your mouth water. I'm going to drool all over myself today. Oh, man. But for the next 4 weeks, less is more. That's what we're going to talk about today. Less is more. Stress is bad. Giving is good. And tomorrow matters. What kind of a legacy are you going to leave for those behind you? That's what we're going to talk about a little bit on that last week. Well, if you've ever gotten the candy Sprees, you know one is good, so more must be better, right? As a kid, who bought Sprees? You bought the big long pack. How long did they last? About 30 seconds, right? You just, bam, one after the other. Well, if one pack of Sprees is good, then two's got to be better. If one is good, two are better. If you have a dollar... Then $2 is better, right? If you have a car, then two cars are better. If you have one kid, six kids are better, right? Or two, maybe. But you see, if you have more money, it's better. If you have more clothes, it's better. Kids, if you have more toys, it's better, right? If you have more stuff, it must be better. Well, maybe not. You see, as one young man found out, probably fifth or sixth grade, he took Sprees. That's when the theaters sold Sprees, and he bought two packages of Sprees, goes into the movie, and starts shoveling them down as fast as he can because they're oh so good, and is watching the movie. What do you suppose happened? As the movie went on, and as the different colors of Sprees took over, all of a sudden, there was a technicolor rainbow that appeared, and he threw up all over the place. You see, sometimes some is good, and more may or may not be better, especially not with Sprees. We see this in the Bible, that at the beginning of the Bible, there's the book of Genesis. And Genesis tells us about the creation of the world and who God is and God's love for us and all of those things. And if one was good...
then two would be better. We've got Adam and Eve, right? And the life that they lived. And they had a perfect life together, walking in the garden with God. Can you imagine what that life was? Their only job was just to take care of the garden. They were gardeners. And to walk with God. What a life. But then there's another character introduced to the story. And this theme of if some is good, then more is better. And as Adam and Eve lived their life, they found themselves being whispered into the back of their head, just like we are, that if some is good, more is better. If some is good, more must be better. If God gave you some, wouldn't you like to have more? If God trusts you with some knowledge, can you imagine what more knowledge would be like? That would be better, wouldn't it? And so that's where Adam and Eve found themselves. In the same way, in the same place that we find ourselves today, that if God is good, then what he's given me for wisdom is good, then more wisdom is better. And so they took it upon themselves to say, God, you're good, but in all reality, less of you is better, because when there's less of you, there's more of me. Maybe that's how we live life today, that God, yeah, you're good, but less of you getting in my way so that I can experience more of me and what there is to do. And that's exactly where Adam and Eve found themselves. And they sinned. They sinned against God, and they gained all of this knowledge, which they found out was not where they really wanted to be. You see, they were whispered in the back of their ear, just like you and I are today, is what you don't have, that's what really matters. In every TV commercial out there, in every magazine ad, in everything that you hear, what you don't have, that's what matters. That's what everything is telling you. You don't have the new Audi. Oh, it's Christmas time. You got to get one so you can get that great big red bow on the top of it, right? Because what you don't have is what really matters. Well, people in the Bible thought that too. There was one character. His name was Solomon. He became king over Israel. And he was said to be, through history, the wisest man that ever lived and the richest man that ever lived. And you're wondering, how did he get that way? Was he just lucky? Was he a good, savvy businessman? Did he get a great inheritance? What was it that caused Solomon to be so great? Well, you see, what it started off with is Solomon ended up having some favor with God. And God says, what do you want? You can ask for anything you want. What do you want? He could have asked for money. He could have asked for possessions. He could have asked for a long life. He could have asked for whatever. What did he ask for? Wisdom. God, how? Give me wisdom so that I can rule this nation correctly. God was pretty impressed with that, and God gave him wisdom. And God gave him all the riches to go along with it because he knew he could handle it. How many of people does that describe of us? Do we have the wisdom in which God is pleased with what we do that he will trust us with the rest? Where are we at in our own lives? Well, Solomon wrote a book called Ecclesiastes. And in Ecclesiastes chapter 4, verse 6, it says this, better is one handful with tranquility than two handfuls with toil and chasing after the wind. How many of us does this simple verse describe that better is one handful with tranquility, but we get that second hand involved and we start to toil and we start to grab more, but it's like chasing after the wind. And by the way, why is two handfuls better? What is it that two handfuls make it better? That's what we're going to talk about, is less is more living. When you're living with less, you're actually living more. Why is it better? Because you can help someone if you have time and margin. You can give if you have margin in your finances. You can encourage if you have margin in your time and you're able to at least take a look around to what other is happening in other people's lives, not just your own. You can even take a nap. Who likes naps? I like naps. Didn't like them in kindergarten when you had to take them, but sure wish we could take that afternoon nap now, don't we? Less is more. less of what doesn't matter. Define what does matter is the question that I want to ask you. On the back of your note-taking guide there, there's three blanks there. Would you please right now think of three things that matter to you and write them in them three blanks? Now, by the end of today, maybe you'll edit that list. I don't know. But write down right now three things that matter to you. Because what I want you to do is I don't want you to just take this bulletin home and throw it in the trash on your way out. I want you to take this home, and I want you to, if you want to, cut that piece out and tape it to your computer monitor at work. Tape it to your mirror at home. Put it someplace where you will see it day after day for the next week or so. Because I want you to not just have a time here where we can take a breath. We do what we do for this hour to try and remove barriers so that people can breathe, so people can meet God, so that we can take a time and learn a little more about God, all of that incorporated into one. But as we take time and space in our minds right now, what are three things that matter to you? Now, I posed this question on Facebook this week, and some of you were able to respond, and I posed the question, what matters? And then I gave it a little bit of a caveat. If you had 3 months to live, what would you do? If you had 3 months, if you knew that your time was going to be up at such and such a date, such and such a time, now, what are three things that matter to you now with that before you? When I asked the people on social media, they said things like, God matters, relationships matter, kids matter. A few of them got a little crazy and said chocolate matters, but maybe that was just in there, but I like chocolate too. But not on anyone's list, okay? This is a list of what nobody seemed to mention. Nobody said, well, I want more money in the bank, or I want new shoes, or how about that iPhone 10 that's just coming out? No, leather sofa, a particular make and model of a car, new countertops, Instagram followers, trinkets. None of that was mentioned. Why not? If you have 3 months to live, you start to prioritize what is really important in your life. Jesus said that your life does not consist in the abundance of your possessions. And the real question that I want to ask you is, if you put those three things down on your list, why aren't you doing them now? Or are you? You self-examine your list, but if you put three things down there and they're kind of pipe dreams, that I want to have a great relationship with God, but I don't really get to spend any time in the Bible. I want to have a great relationship with my family, but you know, I gotta earn the buck, so I'm always at work. You answer the question. If those things are really important to you, I would call them core values. What are your core values? What really means it to you when it comes down to the end? And what is it that's keeping you from acting and living out your core values? Less is more living. Three things, three blanks that I want you to fill in today. The first one is this, cut back. That's pretty easy, right? Or it seems easy. Back in 1910, if you were to have a house back in 1910, it was what? It was a much smaller footprint than a lot of the houses that we see today, and they probably had a closet or two because they didn't have a bunch of stuff to have to put in this closet or two. What do we see now? If you talk to Craig or any other builder, the footprints of what we build for houses now is much larger. And instead of just having a closet, we have walk-in closets. We can get more stuff in a walk-in closet. We even now have attached garages. Some of them are even double deep, so we can get more stuff in them. I love that. How many of you right now have so much stuff in your garage you can't even get your vehicles in? Okay? Now that's me right now. We're doing a little remodel upstairs and we're storing stuff in the garage, but how often do we find ourselves storing about $500 worth of junk in a garage and thousands of dollars of cars sitting outside in the driveway? Where does that make sense? But that's what we do. We have storage areas in our house. We build storage areas behind our houses. You know what? Some people even have, I know you can't believe this, Kenny, but some people have so much stuff, they actually rent a place to store their stuff. and they pay rent all year long and never open the door. Maybe that describes you. I don't know. But we pay to store our stuff because that stuff is so important to us, and it's so important to us that we don't even look at it ever. Right? Less is more. Life does not consist of the abundance of stuff that we have, but in the moments we share with others. When we take control of our stuff instead of our stuff controlling us, when we live with less stuff, it gives us the ability to have more friends. When we have less stuff, sometimes we can have more time with family. When we have less stuff, we can have more experiences in life as well. So cut back on the things that you have. And maybe the second one is this: clear out, okay? Clear out as if your life depends on it. There are lots and lots and lots of books on this category of less is more. Now, there are books on minimalism, and there are books on organizing. I ran across a blog this week from John Shinnick. It was entitled Minimalism versus Organizing versus Decluttering. Let me read an excerpt from it. Minimalism, organizing, decluttering. One of those things is not like the other. Just song went through your head, didn't it? One of these things is... Two of these words have to do with your things, either moving them around or moving them out. The other is a lifestyle. Often I will be talking to a friend about minimalism, and the conversation always makes its way to either organization or decluttering. They say, I am pursuing minimalism, or, oh, I love organizing, or, I am a minimalist. I just took a bunch of stuff to Goodwill. Now, I understand that my friends are doing their best to connect with me, and I appreciate that. I appreciate it greatly. I do find it interesting that these are the two things most associated with the lifestyle, since I think minimalism has much more to offer. He goes on to say, but when we minimize our stuff God's way, it allows us to actually maximize our soul. That when we minimalize our stuff and the distractions that we have that go on in life, we're open to God's voice more. Because when our schedules aren't packed tight to tight, we actually take some time to maybe read God's word. And when we do that and have a little margin in our lives for time-wise, we can actually start to hear what God wants to tell us. When we minimalize our stuff, sometimes we actually get a little bit of a margin in our finances. And that allows us to have the stuff that we truly, truly need or want if we can minimize our stuff. We're going to get into that in just a minute. You see, living a simple lifestyle is difficult for so many. There's a lot of people, and they fall on both ends of the spectrum. Some ends I've seen that they just grew up not financially wealthy, and they didn't have much stuff. I've seen this a lot in a generation. They call it the greatest generation ever. And as my grandfather, when he passed away, and before that, and talking with them, they didn't grow up with much, especially if they grew up during the 30s, the dirty 30s. That generation and that group just did not have much. And so they struggle with what to minimalize out of that because they didn't have much. Or you're afraid that you might need it. And so, you know, I can't get it away. I'm going to put it in the storage shed for when I need it. And then we'll never, ever see it again, right? Or how about this? Maybe it's just too sentimental to give up. Now, I understand that one. Because I have a dining room table. I don't like it all. But it was my mother's uncle's dining room table. Every time I get up into that table, I smack my knee on it. It's too low. It creaks. All the boards are cupped. So when you come to our house, this is how your plate sits. I hate this thing. But my mother loves it. And my wife won't let me get rid of it. But that's not the real reason. You see, really, I am kind of sentimental to that dumb thing. Because it'll expand with the leaves that's on it about as wide as this stage is. It would feed a whole threshing crew back in the day. And in one corner of this table where the wood has some detail to it all the way around the table. In this one corner, the detail is all gone. And it just kind of rolls up into the table. The wood has been worn there so much because that's where Grandma served everybody. And she stood at that place every day and took care of her family. And by doing that and rubbing up against there every day over the years, that detail, it's only in a section about this much. Now, for some people, they would go, well, that's terrible. You got detail, and then there's no... But what's behind this? And how many of our possessions do we wrap that up into? What do you have that it's, oh, when you look at it, jogs a memory? And that's okay to a point, right? Because we stop doing the big things in our life, the one thing or maybe two or three, and we start to think, well, you know, that Coke cup that I got at the Vikings stadium, you know, that's, we can't get rid of that. That's a prized possession, right? Well, it was for me because the Cowboys beat the Vikings that day, but that's all right. It's going to be okay. But what are we doing with our stuff? Yet at the same time, we become overwhelmed with all this stuff. All these shelves of stuff that we've got to figure out what to do with. We have too many options. If you don't think we have too many options, go to Sioux Falls, have dinner and a movie. And don't pre-plan it. And just go there and say, well, where should we go? I don't know. We have too many options. Now, in the first service, I could tell this story with no issues whatsoever because my wife wasn't here, but she's in this service, so I'm going to tell it anyway. The problem is actually me, not her. But I can't make up my mind. Okay, in Madison, 5 choices, not so bad. Sioux Falls, 5 choices on every corner, gets a little more exciting. Where should we eat? I don't know. I know where I don't want to eat, and that's what causes the problem. Because she'll say, well, how about this place? No. How about this place? No. How about this place? No. Who's been there? Who's with me? You know, it's not because I don't know where to eat. I know where I don't want to eat. But we have problems making choice. Same with movies. Well, which one of the 23 movies should we go to? It's actually not that hard of a decision because there's only about 2 or 3 movies that are even worth going to, so, or that we should be going to, but that's another message. But if you go to your closet and you haven't worn it in a year, get rid of it. If you go to your closet and it doesn't fit because I'm going to get back into it, right, get rid of it. Because you know what? If you do get to a point in your life where you can get back into it, you're going to want to buy something nicer than that anyway to reward yourself. So get rid of it. If it doesn't fit now, get rid of it. My life does not consist in the abundance of my possessions. It consists in the abundance of my love for God and for other people. That's where it lies. Next thing, pay it off. Pay it off. Okay? Cut back, clear out, pay it off. Stress is bad. We all, I think, could raise our hands. If I said, who wants to lower their stress level? I think we could all raise our hand in that. Stress is bad. Debt causes stress. I found out this week that the debt load of the American family, the American household, has increased 11% in the last decade. And that in 2016, the average credit card debt, the average, that means half is more and half is less. The average credit card debt was $16,883 per household. That is staggering to me. That's credit card debt. The average all debt, house, credit cards, cars, whatever you can think of, $137,063 per household of debt. Now, when it comes to debt, you see, a borrower is a slave to the lender. If you borrow money from someone, if you borrow money from an organization, you are a slave to that lender. And we want to help you with that. Especially if you're having troubles with your money. We as Living Hope, we want to help you with that. And Tuesday night, Financial Peace University and Smart Money, you heard about it on the announcements. Tuesday night, 7 o'clock it starts. So get here at 6:30 so you can get your coffee, you can get ready to go. We have childcare available. We want to help you not be one of these statistics. We want to help you so that you can have the right kind of margins in your life to do what God has really put on your heart to do. Unless you say this. Well, you see, debt helps me feel at peace. Oh, yeah. And my monthly credit card payment, oh, that just soothes my soul. If that's you, then you don't need to worry about this. Or, you know, if owing people brings you joy, then yeah, we're not on the same page there. But you see, all of these things just bring stress and worry and a lot of fear. I call it sleepability. I ran this method when I was in business, and I still run it today, is that what I do, how I conduct myself, what I do with my stuff, what I do with my time, what I do with my money, that I want to be able to sleep at night and have sleepability. With all the stuff that you have, do you have sleepability built into your life? Or is there just too much stress because of all your stuff? You really want to know what fun is? Fun is being debt-free, not owing anything to anyone. That's fun. Making that last credit card payment so it's not dogging you every month. That's fun. Making that last car payment so that when you fill it with gas and drive it off the gas station or down the street, that it's yours. No student loans. Even for some of you, paying that house off, to live in a house where you don't have to make that monthly payment, what wouldn't that be like? Can you imagine what we could do collectively if we didn't have house payments? Better is a car that's paid off than a new one with massive payments. Better is a smaller house than fighting over who spent what every month. Better is to have a financial margin in your life so that you can help others rather than just living on the edge, paycheck to paycheck every month. Less is more. But less is more doesn't mean that you don't have anything. Less is more is like you stay, like John was saying in his article, is about minimalism sometimes. Minimalism, he says, he goes on to say later in his blog, many people define it this way. I tend to think of it as spending time in the absence of things and in the presence of family or friends. It can mean giving up everything. It can mean giving up a few things. It can mean refocusing of your priorities. He says, I still collect things. I have a comic book subscription. In fact, I have two. The point for me is not to be defined by the things that I have and to not let the things that I own me. You may have some stuff. You may have some really nice stuff. It's not about not having nice things. I think if you pay your bills and live the way God wants you to live and you've got money left over and you can buy really nice things, then buy really nice things. If you're running your finances and your time and your family the way that God wants you to and he gives you margin in that and you can go on a really nice vacation, go on a really nice vacation and have great memories doing it. If you can run your finances with margin and God puts somebody across your path and he says, help that person. And you have a margin to be able to do that. It's incredibly satisfying to do that. Even if you have nice things, even if you have a big house, even if you have nice cars and go on nice vacations, that's okay. It's not about the stuff. It's about where the margins are in the stuff that you have. Better is a little nice stuff that you own than a bunch of junk that owns you. Better is one handful with tranquility than two handfuls with toil and chasing after the wind. You see, the richest people are not those that have the most. The bumper sticker you may have seen is the one who dies with the most stuff wins. I don't know if you've ever seen that bumper sticker. That's not the truth. That's not what wins. The richest people are the ones who need the least. Less is more. Go to a developing country sometime. Craig, you just got back from one. And by our standards, some of these people in Guatemala or Nepal or in the reaches of Mexico have nothing compared to what we have. But we can find that they too sometimes are the happiest people because they don't have to worry about all their stuff. Now don't get me wrong, I like to sleep indoors and I like a bathroom with a door on it that's inside, right? But let's not get hung up on all our stuff so that it controls us every minute of every day. Let's live life in simplicity. Your life is too valuable, your calling is too great, and your God is too good to waste your life on meaningless things. Let me read that again. Your life is too valuable, your calling is too great, and your God is too good to waste your life on meaningless things. Better is one handful with tranquility. Better is one handful and children that you love. Better is one handful and intimate friends that you can have. Better is one handful and a vacation with memories. Better is one handful and a good marriage that you can actually spend time on because you're not at the office every day of every week. Better is one handful and the ability to make a difference in the community around you. Better is one handful and a passion for Jesus. It's not about your stuff. It's about what your stuff is doing to you. That's the bottom line. What is your stuff doing to you? And what would happen if you gave up some of it? Or at least prioritized it. Maybe you don't need six of this and four of that and two of the others. Unless it comes to hunting equipment, then you absolutely do have to have that. But what is it for you? What is it that would help you lower the stress level in your life? Back in the back of your bulletin at the bottom there's some talk it over points. And if you lost all of your stuff tomorrow, how would you feel? Would you feel panicked or relieved? I have a friend of mine that just late last winter, his garage started on fire and their house burned down. Thank God they were home at the time and had the ability to get the pictures and some computers out. But that's all they had time for. All their clothes, gone. All their other stuff, gone. All their TVs, gone. But they got out with their family and their pictures. And that was good enough for them. What is it for you if your house burned down? Would you be thankful that it just cleaned up all the clutter for you or not? Read Ecclesiastes 4:6. Do you spend more energy finding tranquility with one handful, or are you chasing after that second handful all the time and it just never seems to get full and it never seems to fulfill your life? The most important, this is an action step here, is what is a doable starting point for cutting back, for clearing out, and for paying off? Where could you start today? Just write one thing, one simple thing that you could think of that you could start doing this week to help with these 3 points, to help you get ahead in your margin in life, whether it's in friendships, in finances, or in time. You do this week? Just one thing. Write it down. Keep it with you and remind yourself this week. I've been telling my staff for a long time that one of the things that God has placed on my heart is helping you, helping me, helping us take Sunday to Thursday. Why Thursday? It's because nobody pays attention to Friday anyway. So let's take Sunday to Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday. What can we learn today that we can take with us each and every step of the week that when Tuesday comes and we pull it out of our pocket that it reminds, oh yeah, okay, I can do this better. What is it that God is inspiring you with, the people that you pass, that on Thursday God puts that person in your path and you remember it and go, okay. Make sure you tell me about it, would you? Because I, with every fiber of my believe that God is going to do that to you this week. That is my prayer, that God puts something or someone in your path that will help you make a difference for your life today and for your life to ever. Come to Smart Money Tuesday night if you need it. Not because you're in trouble, but because we can always do it better. Tuesday night, 7 o'clock. Smart Money. Would you pray with me? God, thanks for all that you do for us. God, thank you. I thank you for my family. I thank you for the families that are represented here. God, I thank you that we can be in one place at one time for one purpose, and that is to thank you for all that we have. And God, I pray that we would use it wisely, not just for ourselves, but for those around us, for those around the world, and next door, and the guy we work with or the gal we work with, or that family that comes across and is truly in need. God, may we help them today. God, I thank you for Living Hope. I thank you for what you're doing. God, the most important thing that we can do in our lives is to have a relationship with you. So God, if that's it, if there is anyone here today or that is listening online that does not have a relationship with you, help them to pray this prayer. And if that's you, just simply say this: God, I realize that I've made mistakes in my life, and that when I go against you, you call it sin. And because I have sin in my life, I am separated from you, God. God, would you forgive me of my sin? If you ask God to forgive you of your sin, he says he will do it. God, would you help me to live life that's pleasing to you? Would you have a relationship with me? Maybe that's what you need to ask. And if you ask it, God will do it. Not because that's our gumball machine and who God is, but God does it because he wants to, because he loves you, because he wants to have that relationship with you, because with that relationship that you have with God brings a life of hope and a life everlasting with him in heaven. If that's what you want with God right now, just ask him. And if that's you today, I want you to do one more thing for me. I want you to check that box on your bulletin. I want you to go on the YouVersion app and under the events and check that box and let us know that you're a new follower of Christ so that we can walk with you in community. We don't want to bother you. We don't want to give you hang-ups, but we know that living life alone is hard. We don't want anybody to live life alone. God doesn't want anybody to live life alone. Maybe that's you today, that you're trying to live life alone in your finances or in your stuff or in your relationships, or you're working so hard to do it yourself that it's just not working. Give God a try. Let God handle your finances and tithe. Let God handle your relationships and go deep. Let God handle your time and create margins. See what happens on the other side. God, I thank you for what you've done for us, not only today, but what you did for us on that cross and what you're doing for us tomorrow that we don't even realize it. Thank you. We give you all the praise and glory for it. It's in the name of Jesus that we pray this. And all God's people said, amen. May God bless you this week. May God bother you this week with what you have and what you can do for him. Thank you for being here. God bless you.